afraid. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Fire?
Ren is dead.
How you doing, Snakey Leg?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Walt Dick, well, yeah.
Stop the hammering.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Have a good day.
You too, fat ass.
Thank you.
Okay.
Fat ass. Bye, fat ass.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program in the Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. A lot of confusion on my part. I thought Amy Lawrence was in today.
I thought I said Thursday.
Sorry, well, I thought it was today. She said something about a home show yesterday. I was barely paying attention, but I thought she was going to be in today, which was, I was getting ready for uncomfortableness. Because you can't have her on the air because you can't win. It's, first of all, she wouldn't do it. And second of all, it's going to, you just can't win. There's no way you can win in that situation.
So that's just it? We're just going to... that's not going to address it tomorrow or anything?
You can address it, but I mean, what are you going to have her in?
I mean, maybe.
We've discussed this. There's
well, I haven't figured out, like, any like, what we would do. I mean, how it would work.
But first of all, she's not coming in. And second of all, what's going to happen? You think she's going to roll with the punches?
I think you just leave her and Wallach in the studio alone.
Well, you could do that.
I think you and I just walk out and let them just hash things out.
If that can happen, she doesn't
have a problem with me, though. I mean, she's got a problem with you.
No, she does have a problem with you. She has a problem with you not sticking up for her.
Yep.
Yeah, but, I mean, she has at least an equal problem with you two guys, too.
No, I know, but we don't know her.
Okay. But you guys, like, have a relationship.
So you could have a frank and honest conversation together about, you know, what happened.
Uh-huh.
We, on the other hand, would...
Sit back and watch the magic happen.
Yeah, see, if that can happen, I'm all for that. Because that is two friends... hashing things out. First of all, there's absolutely no way she'll do that. There's absolutely no way she's coming into this studio. There's no way she'll do that. But if that's the case, then God bless. Because if we have her on, there's no... First of all, she's never in a million years going to do it. And second of all, what do you think? She's going to sit here and it's going to be like... it's going to be equal footing? It's gonna sit there and it's gonna just be absorbing, you know. And when someone just absorbs things, what are you gonna do?
I don't know. I think that maybe you just can. She can say the things to you that she was saying at the Super Bowl.
No. If she talks to Wallach,
yeah. With us, yeah. I understand. I totally get that.
Yeah, with us, it's what hat is that?
What hat? Oh, this Bruins hat.
That's not Bruins. Was it a knockoff? Where'd you get that thing?
No, it's Adidas. It's the Bruins hat. What do you mean? It's the spoke B.
That's not the right B.
Couldn't, that's the thing. I couldn't see the spokes.
Yes.
Because it's black on black.
Is that the right B?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the right B. It just looks... Yeah. It's not a B I've seen, but I haven't seen that style before.
No.
That it's black? Whatever. No, this is an Adidas hat. It's the official logo.
I see the Adidas logo on the side. It doesn't look like...
Matter of fact, I'm just now noticing we're 3 for 3. I think we have 3 Bruins hats. You got Dan with one. You got Mike with one. I'm just now noticing this. Yeah.
Dan, you bring yours in and let's see if the B is similar, because that B looks off. You come in here and...
No, that's the...
All right, calm down.
No, you're asking me and I'm saying yes, that's the hat.
You get all so defensive.
That's defensive. You're asking me what I think.
No, they look completely different.
No, they don't.
They do. They look completely different.
No, it's the same B. Dude, it's your eyes.
All right. First of all, calm down.
No, you're asking our opinion.
I know, but you get so defensive. I'm talking about your hat. Nick's in there laughing.
No. Your eyes. The reason I'm freaked out is that
you're
seeing something that we don't see.
I very well might be wrong. It's your effing hat already. I just was making
same B, different colors.
Okay, fine.
Same B, different colors.
I was wrong. Jesus.
Yours doesn't.
Maniac. Yeah, yeah. Right. Stop being a... There are times where Rich can be defensive. This is not one of those
All
times.
All right, fine.
Not one of those times.
Fine. Well, I guess yesterday, apparently Hardy and Cattles got into it, according to intern Nick. They got into it pretty good.
I just found out about this.
Yeah, they got into it pretty good on the air.
Was it 2 days ago?
No, it was 2 days ago?
Oh, I thought it was yesterday.
Oh, it was 2 days ago.
Oh, all right.
All right, so they did the show together yesterday, so it couldn't have been that bad.
Right.
Oh, I thought it was yesterday. I thought there was going to be a whole situation.
What was it over? What was the...
Apparently he asked too long a question. Nick was telling me, so who knows. But apparently he asked too long a question. And that Cattles did. And that was upsetting to Hardy.
Oh, it's like someone they were interviewing?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was upsetting to Hardy. And they got into... And Hardy was giving him the jibber-jabber on the air. And then it spilled into the hallway. And then they were arguing in the hallway.
Oh.
But then it must have not been much. And apparently, like, people had to come out and, like, go, like, everyone calm down.
Why would you argue in the hallway? I mean, see, people, I think... Maybe it's just because Nick's kind of newer than the rest of us, I guess. But at some point, you realize what you're doing is you're doing a dumb show and you're talking about millionaires with baseballs. Why do people like take that stuff personally?
Well, I know it's your profession, so I guess that he's not part of the show. I don't know why they did it, but Hardy's you're blaming Nick already. Hardy was part of it, and Hardy's been radio longer than me.
Hardy went out into the, I guess that you're right. I assume that it was Nick, because I know Hardy, and I've worked with Hardy, and I've never had a problem with him, I guess. That's
this
why.
Isn't clicking. Do you drink the water even when the top doesn't click? There's no seal?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh.
Well, I haven't had that problem.
That just reminds me of the one time I went to Mexico, and I did one of these, like, day trips to, the Chichen Itza, where they have, like, the Mayan temples. And
right.
And they said... we are going to have a lunch served for you with bottled water because, the whole thing in Mexico is you don't want to drink the water. They say that, you'll get sick. So I was like, this sounds great. And I remember when we sat down to have our lunch with bottled water, they handed us the bottles of water, but the bottles have been opened.
And so there was tap water.
So what they had essentially done is opened up the bottles, filled it up with water, and then handed it back to you.
Which is so dumb because you would think for the price of the bottled water... You could have the reputation of not poisoning the people that are in your tour group.
You would think so, but...
Was this pre-internet?
No. This was in early 2000s.
Maybe it hadn't gotten to them yet, but I would think that the value of, having purified water would be far outweigh the cost cutting that would result in everyone going, I got incredible diarrhea.
Yeah.
All right, but do you drink the water the beverage when there's no the safety doesn't work
if on I, it? If I bought something at the store and I saw that it had been open, hell no, I wouldn't drink it.
I didn't see that it had been open, but it didn't click when I
Maybe you avoid it. Maybe you avoid that.
Jesus. And there's no receptacles for water here.
But is the water machine here though?
Yes.
Okay, you just dump that out and just
fill it up over there.
Yeah, but what if it's got resin from whatever someone poisoned it?
Maybe you're right. Then rinse
maybe
it
you
out.
Throw the whole thing out and get a plastic cup.
You can't. There's no cups here. That's what Fred's saying. No cups.
Oh, you said okay.
We are the forgotten ones. Like this That's building, true. Everyone's left, and we're just here temporarily until the new studio opens down the street. And
which
for
is
a while, for now, there's
when?
There's no trash service for a while.
No.
I just forgot.
Well, no, iHeart owns the stations up there.
There's got to be a cup in the first or second floor.
Entercom owns the stations
right
up there,
yes.
And they haven't taken the garbage out. Have you guys been in the kitchen upstairs?
No.
And Entercom owns both those stations.
I know, there's a big sign right on the front door.
No, they own one of them.
Well, they're dealing with other things right now.
No, they own two. They own three stations upstairs.
Yeah,
Entercom, this is their building.
Yeah.
And it's just filled with trash, and there's no cups.
Yeah,
which has got to be against some sort of labor law. Don't you have to have a cup?
Well, is there a water fountain that fills the requirement?
No, there's no water. I mean, I walked around yesterday, and then you can't buy a bottle. So here's what's upstairs. I know we're all over the place this morning. But here's what's upstairs is that there's a soda machine, and so you go to get water, a water bottle, and you can't get it. I'm not even talking about you can't get fountain or sink water. I mean, there's nothing to hold water in. All the water is sold out, water bottles. And then the recycling is overflowing with these water bottles. Like, it's like on the ground and all over the place.
See, now I gotta go upstairs and check that out.
Well, watch, they've cleaned it. But, yeah, yesterday that was the case. So there's nothing to hold water.
Man, this building is being treated like the redheaded stepchild across the street.
But Entercom owns three stations.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. The big building matters more than the small building to them at the moment.
I don't know why. They gave up an awful lot to get those stations. I don't know why. I can understand ignoring this part of the building. Sure. But this part of the building is being handled better than what they own.
Yeah. I don't think they're moving out upstairs, are they? They're sticking around? Yeah, one just moved in.
Yeah.
Where? Top floor?
Yeah, because they've even changed the signs and stuff.
I haven't been upstairs. On that side. You got to have all kinds of codes and everything to get up in there. So, today's going to be a thirsty show. There's the water I brought had no seal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's a chance that it got jostled in my bag and the seal broke?
No.
I don't know. Those ones, I know the kind you're drinking. They're kind of built cheap anyway.
I know, but you think he goes over a bump and that breaks the seal? I don't think so.
The car is a performance vehicle. I mean, if you hit a bump, you're it's not like some mom van that you drive.
That's right. Smooth riding. Some cool runnings for Fred.
Well, it's a low car, you know?
Yeah.
All right, Dan, yes.
Would you dump out that water and put in spring water and use that as a cup?
He's worried about the resin.
Yeah, would there be
poison resin? Would that stay in the bottle?
I don't know. Good luck.
See, that's the problem. That's the catch 22. Do you go without water the entire morning?
Well, due to the your very survival is on the line here.
To the 0.0000001 chance that someone has tampered with this bottle at Whole Foods. The 365, which is very, very, it's a very ragtag crew in there. Or do you roll the dice and allow yourself to hydrate? That's the question. That is ultimately the question. So if I die during the show, just know that I gambled. I made a deal with the devil and I lost. Oh, boy. Amy Lawrence isn't here.
No, that's tomorrow. So
it was all revved up.
If she was, then everything would be over by now. We could move on with our lives. But unfortunately, tomorrow morning as we're driving, we're going to be like,
And then John is going to have her on.
Yep.
And air things out. Have an airing of grievances.
The John and Amy show. 6:03 tomorrow.
A 10-minute festivus, as it were.
What if it was the John and Amy show and it was so good that they just said, you know what, we'll pay you off. It's the John and Amy show from now on.
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Thatcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Thatcher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And Rich, last night the Bruins with a comeback.
Yeah, let's check in on some of the newest Bruins, shall we?
Nash jumps through but can't pierce his way to get that puck. Held in by the Bruins. Out in front, Nash shoots, he scores! Welcome to Boston! Rick Nash of a 50 feed up at the blue line. A great steal by the Bruins. Nash found himself all alone against the goaltender, Scott Darling. And he whipped it home.
That is the sound of the Bruins GM taking a victory lap as everything came up. Don Sweeney last night.
That wasn't his best play.
Well, I was just about to say, his greatest play wasn't even that goal or the assist last night. Nope. By the way, he had his 800th career point. But no, that was when he played goalie and robbed Carolina of a sure one. Rick Nash and his long-ass arms just, Rask was out of place, and he just scooped one out that would have definitely been a goal. One of the better moves that you've seen this year. You're not going to have much better of a save out of someone who is not a goalie. Rick Nash, they kept talking about it, but it's true just how long his arms are and what an amazing play.
So, still don't know how he kept the puck out of the net.
Well, I mean, he just almost
did. The last millisecond.
Veteran savvy.
Just the angle. I don't know how that puck didn't go in.
Yeah, but it was a great play by him. Good game by Rick Nash. And what about Tommy Wingles in his Bruins debut?
Now DeBrusk, near point. Rink wide. Fired by Wingles. He scores! How about the newcomers for the Bruins? Tommy Wingles picks the top near corner. And he ties the game at three.
You know what they call Tommy Wingles in the Bruins locker room?
There you go.
They call him Rafters 2.0.
you knew Wingles was going to come in and make a difference. You gave up. That Sweeney, all right, you got Nash, but when you get Wingles in here, that's just what you expect.
I was just waiting for him to throw Gianta in there just for the hell of it.
Yeah.
To see if he would score.
Oh, God, it's left. who makes this all possible is Riley Nash. If Riley Nash wasn't having the season he was having, and you feel have all the confidence in the world to just stick him on the top line, and even on the game-winning goal, he makes the great play to get to outlet it to Charlie McAvoy. He's playing really, really well,
yeah.
And that allows everyone else to fill in. It's really something what's going on here.
Well, that was Wingle's eighth goal of the season. The game goes to overtime, and leave it to this guy to send everyone home happy.
And it's stripped. Here's McAvoy over the line, right side, into the right circle. McAvoy shoots. He scores!
Chucky Jesus. Pucks
Calm
does it
down.
Again. Well, yeah, what's we're gonna call him? Chucky Pucks. Charlie McAvoy.
He's Johnny
guy.
Hockey and Chucky Pucks.
Chucky Pucks.
Sure you do.
That's right. And he ends it in overtime. I thought that we talked about this while you were gone, Fred. We're trying to figure out whether if Judd Surratt is an over screamer on the goal calls. And after listening to it, most of the calls were justified. Like if it was like the first goal of a game and it was a 1-0 game, he didn't freak out too much. I thought that was worth yelling last night. That was a great overtime win.
That wasn't even a yell, though. I think he's been listening to you.
Yeah.
That wasn't a yell.
Because we even criticized him a little bit for a game-tying goal.
Mm-hmm.
But even we let that slide. It's like, okay, it's a game-tying goal.
I don't know, but it's like, what a way to open up the homestand. Well, you beat a crappy team 4-3.
Yeah, but it was cool the way that you had the new guys all score.
All right.
And it was dramatic.
You've not been playing well. You didn't play particularly well last night. You have to have, what a way to start. There's better ways to start a series. I'm nitpicking. But when McAvoy scored that goal last night, I wasn't dancing around the room. Nice. They picked up a point.
When the Bruins fall behind, the one thing about the Bruins is, and this is the same with the rest of the NHL, if you fall behind by two goals, that's usually it.
Not this year.
No, but the Bruins are not accepted from that. Their record before the last couple of weeks has been awful when they fall behind by two.
Well, right there, Stats Magoo. I didn't think that was the case. It seemed like they were always coming back. It seemed like they were always down at least a goal.
Yep, that's true.
All right, well, next time you keep those things to yourself.
My mistake.
Well, listen, you can never doubt this team when you got Chucky Pucks playing in overtime. Here's Rick Nash afterwards, not Chucky Pucks.
I try to be the complete player. I want to be a player that's on the ice if you're up a goal at the end of the game and down a goal. That play was crazy. I didn't know if it crossed the line or not. It happened so fast. But, I'm going to try to bring as much offense as I can and be as responsible as I can defensively.
Well, there was some bad news announced yesterday afternoon. However, Patrice Bergeron has a fractured right foot that he suffered in the first period against Toronto on Saturday, which essentially means that Bergeron played almost two full games on a broken foot before even getting it diagnosed.
Micro fracture.
Yeah, it's still broken, but he'll be out for at least two weeks.
I could play with that.
You think so?
Micro fracture? Little tiny little fracture and a little tiny bone? Oh, yeah.
It's a broken foot.
Technically.
it's like barely having your lung punctured, right? Like a micro puncture.
No, the punctured lung is legit.
Yes, that was
a little tiny bone in your foot, you play through that thing. If it's the postseason, you don't know he has it. That I'll tell you.
Oh, of course.
That's
of
true.
Course. It's,
yeah.
That's true.
Ricky passed a kidney stone during an off day.
I'd rather have that playing than a punctured lung.
That's true.
No, I thought Recky passed it during the game.
Oh, no, I thought it was either way. He still played with it.
Well, once his Forsberg, broke his kidney or something. Like, what do you got to
lacerated
him?
His kidney?
Lacerated his kidney during a game and played.
Was it? No, it was the last game of the Chicago Blackhawks series where Patrice Bergeron, the one they lost, game six.
He had a cracked rib that punctured
his lung. And
yes.
He played the entire game with that.
Yeah.
And wasn't it 2 weeks he was in the hospital after it was done?
Yeah.
It was a gratuitously long time.
There was no press conference. He went right to the hospital.
Yeah,
after they lost the Stanley Cup, he went to the hospital for 2 weeks.
In all seriousness, he's obviously very tough, but I would... this injury does not frighten me.
No, and it shouldn't. And he'll be back, but they're going to reevaluate it in 2 weeks. And that's probably a wise thing to do.
Oh, yeah, they'll keep him off of it. But the thing about this injury is that he could technically play through it. So it's, but there's a lot of season left, and hopefully, he comes back in, no longer than 3 weeks. But I mean, at least he's not out for the year or something like that.
That was very strange after that game six where the Bruins ended up losing to the Blackhawks. You had Bergeron go right to the hospital, and you had Chara go right to Canopy Lake Park to ride the Rooster of Doom.
Yep.
In a futile circular motion, much like his life at that moment.
Nothing means anything. We just go in circle on a Rooster of Doom as my knees.
As I'm eating my knees.
Yeah.
I mean, his knees were in his chin.
They shouldn't have let him on it.
Are you? Well, he's tall enough.
Too tall for the ride as opposed to being too short.
Yeah. I mean, if you're putting yourself in danger, he could... You know, he could have run Jeremy'd himself then, right there.
He possibly run Jeremy'd.
He could have. I mean, you can tort your body like that.
Maybe you could.
Yep.
Well,
you know, if you can contort your body in a certain way.
Yeah, right. Sure. It's like the hidden picture in the Tool album, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I didn't know
if
that.
If you saw that. Here's Patrice Bergeron on his injury.
I have no idea. I've tried to have that answer many times, and I don't have it. So we'll see. I guess right now patience is the key word, so we'll see.
He was asked when he's going to be coming back, and as far as Bruce Cassidy is concerned, he knows that losing Bergeron is going to be tough. But they're going to have to make do somehow.
Well, it's very important because Bergie's a Selke winner. So the first thing you're trying to replace is that element on that line. You got two wingers that like to be creative, and you need a backbone on that line. And that's where Riley, listen, there's no replacing Bergie, but he has some of his traits. And we've tried to ask him to bring those traits out when he's playing on that line.
So the next game's a big one. Tomorrow night, the TD Garden, the Bruins take on Sidney Crosby and the Penguins. Puck drops at 7 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What is your two-game impression of Rick Nash so far? Is he everything you thought he would be and more?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah.
He's
been very good.
He's
very responsible, very good.
Both ends of the ice. And take away him saving the goal. Defensively, he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really good. And it's interesting because this homestand, I mean, there are a lot of winnable games here. You got Montreal and Detroit after Pittsburgh, and you have Chicago at the end of it. I mean, you have to play Philadelphia, who's really, really good right now, but if you're going to lose Bergeron, you got some winnable games in front of you.
Philadelphia didn't do anything at the trade deadline, and I wonder if that's going to affect them.
Yeah, I mean, they're one of the hottest, if not the hottest team in the Eastern Conference right now.
If you buy tickets to any Flyers games, you're inundated with emails from the Flyers, and they're desperately trying to sell tickets and informing everyone how hot the team is.
That's true. It kind of takes some of the luster off, even if you're that good, to constantly have to remind your fans that you're that good. That's a good point.
I'm consistently, I'm bombarded, because every year I buy Flyers tickets at Thanksgiving, and I'm bombarded with emails.
See, but I would love to do that. I go to Philadelphia at the wrong time. Disney on Ice is always at the First Union Center, whatever they're calling it now, whenever I'm there over Christmas.
Oh, well, you're missing out on a party.
Yeah.
Unless you desperately want to get out of the house and you're willing to spend, you know, $400 to do it. That's what I did.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's a matinee. Because if it was at night, I wouldn't go. But it's like a matinee.
Sure.
It's like a 3 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the house at 11. Go down there. They've got a little entertainment complex going over there now.
Yep.
Yeah. But, they're like, hey, we're good. Buy tickets. So, yeah, it should be interesting. This is a homestand where they're going to make up some games. They're playing almost every other night.
They have 5 games still. Still, 5 games in hand on Toronto.
Yeah.
And there's how much of the season left? 6 weeks?
6 weeks.
Yeah.
So they're going to be playing a lot of hockey.
Yeah.
They're going to need all the healthy bodies they can get. I guess that's why you get guys like Donato. Not Donato. That's why you get guys like Gianta. All right. We will be right back. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Are you kidding me?
Toucher and Rich.
Embarrassing to America.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Is Stanley Roberts the guy that does the... like we caught you doing something naughty?
Oh, you mean...
And that is the epitome of behaving badly.
Yeah, as a matter of fact... What about people overeating on Channel 4? Badass, how about that?
Okay, I see we have someone on the phone with a story. I don't want to blow it if this is what I think it is, so let's take this call. Yeah, yes, he's the guy from San Francisco who does this segment called People Behaving Badly, and it's... like, we had a couple yesterday.
Yeah, ashing outside of a car.
A guy who was on a bike and went through a stop sign when there was no traffic on the streets. He went and, like, checked fishing licenses for, like, guys alone at a lake.
Yeah, that if you use, you can't use 2 rods.
Right.
And more than 3 hooks per rod. Zach, go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Hey, what's up?
So, Rich, I don't know if you saw, I tweeted at you last night, but I think you wall-dicked me about it. I tweeted you a comparison with Kurt Hadley from Parks and Rec with Stanley Roberts.
I think I retweeted you.
I don't think so. I didn't get anything.
Okay.
I was waiting on it.
All right. Well, you weren't the only one. There's a bunch. So there's a character. Can you kind of describe who this guy is?
Yeah,
people
Pert,
don't watch Parks and
Recreation. What's his name?
He's Pert Hadley. He's kind of just like a spoof reporter on Parks and Rec, and he just kind of overreacts to everything. And when I tweeted it at you, Stanley Roberts, I don't know if you saw it, he quoted it and tagged the both of us, and he goes, I was like, hey, Touch and Risk, do you see any comparison between, you know, Stanley Roberts and Pert Hadley? And he must have found it. He searched himself, and he said, negative exclamation point, and that was it.
Yeah, he was going back and forth with a couple of our listeners yesterday who were ripping on Stanley Roberts. And
wait, did you go add Stanley Roberts?
No, he just wrote, Stanley Roberts reminds me of this guy. Didn't at him or anything, so the guy's just searching his name.
Oh, hell yeah.
And went through there. Anyway,
look at that. Negative. That's a long day if you're just searching for your name on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, he was
according to state law, each fisherman is only permitted to use one pole at a time.
I mean, this is the kind of thing that he was trying to search. And, any of our listeners, and we had a bunch of them compared to the guy. I don't watch Parks and Recreation, but I guess they compared him to this guy. And so he went back and forth with a couple of our listeners last night. Stanley Roberts. Very, very defensive.
The bicycle eel proposal.
That's right. The old bicycle eel proposal.
I still can't understand what he's saying. John, go ahead.
Hi, is John Wallace there?
Yes.
Hi, this isn't easy for me to say, but I was adopted at birth, and I just found out who my mom was a year ago. She was a graduate from Hobart in the early 90s.
Okay.
And through interviews with her friends and through searching through yearbooks, I think you might be my biological father.
Wow. Well, that's news to me. How about that?
So, I mean, I gave the call screener my number. I'd prefer not to go through the details on there. But if you want to, Dad, if you want to talk and go for some lunch or coffee or something, I'd be more than open to.
Okay. What do you look like?
John, the master of improvisation.
I'm not quite sure. You see, there's that tinge of really?
John getting served up softballs and really whiffing on them.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm not the comedic genius I need to be here.
No, so, I think that
because it's all too real.
Yeah, I think you could be alive and be able to work with this call a little bit. Hey, John, I'm your biological son. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Okay, thanks, Carol, and appreciate it. Appreciate the call. Thanks, man.
That's exactly next one. Thanks for calling.
Nice stuff.
Yeah.
Well, guy just calls in. He says, look, I'm gonna tee one up for you.
Yeah, and you're just going to let it fly off the good content radar. All right, and the season might have ended almost a month ago, but the controversy at Gillette still going strong, and as we try to put all the pieces together as to why Malcolm Butler wasn't on the field defensively for the entirety of the Super Bowl, Al Michaels, who called the game for NBC, was on with Rich Eisen yesterday and had this to offer about
someone
the
heard it.
And believe it or not, so if it wasn't for the internet, no one would hear it.
I know. Rich Eisen's show is, again, fascinating to me.
Because where does it exist?
Is it on the NFL Network?
No, I don't think it's. It is on some network, and I'm not trying to play dumb. Yeah.
It's on the Audience Network, same one as Dan Patrick.
Okay.
Well,
all right. So
it's an ironic name.
It exists. Sing, please.
So,
please give us an. So
it's like calling Iceland Greenland. Change the name. It's the opposite of what you have.
All right. So the idea is that because he's not on the radio, right?
No, we went through this. We looked it up. He has affiliates across this great nation of ours.
He's one of those guys that gets plugged into a sports station that just has like a local morning show.
Yeah, but there's so many of those. He can't be on anything.
I know, and I actually don't know where, and I'm not trying to play cool. I really don't know where it is.
Well, who thinks you're playing cool? Who knows where Rich Eisen is on?
I don't know, but he does get huge guests. Like, he gets massive guests on his show. So here's Al Michaels, who's, you know, a pretty good guest, and talking about the Butler situation.
Well, we have access to practice. And the day we went to practice, he practiced every play. So nobody had any idea about this. I do know, you know, Devin McCourty has been quoted recently as saying everybody knew about it. I'm thinking, well, wait a minute. How did everybody know about this? If he's practicing every play. And the only thing I would say in retrospect, first of all, we don't know really what happened. I guess sooner or later, there had to be something there.
There has to
there
be
has
there
to
there.
Be something there.
Correct.
And he's, you know, we had a shot of him crying during the national anthem, so he knew at that point, I guess, that he wasn't going to play. And then the game evolves the way it does, and they're getting shredded in the secondary. So why does he not come in? And the only question I would have is, in addition to obviously trying to find out what really happened, if he's not going to play, why wasn't he deactivated?
Or it's not even that. It's now we're hearing that they all knew, according to Devin McCourty, that he wasn't going to start, but they didn't know that he wasn't going to play. But I do find that interesting, is that they were there for an entire day's practice, and Malcolm Butler, as you would expect, was in on every snap.
Yeah, there's, we'll get into it, I'm sure, later, but there's
things aren't,
there's trouble in paradise.
There really is.
And this is not going crazy, and you know, Patriot fans, you can get all excited about it.
Well, I think, but, no, I think most of them understand fine, this is going fine. On.
But Bill Belichick, this might be it. I mean, he might have this, and listen, it was a huge, huge run, and I know they were in the Super Bowl, but this might be the time where the message is getting lost.
Well, the shine might be coming off on anything that he says is golden.
Right.
And the way things are run within the Patriots organization. Now, is that too much of an overreaction? It depends on how this offseason shakes out.
I don't know. They should have won that Super Bowl. Yes, John.
I was just going to say, think about all the decisions he has made that potentially could have damaged the team. That all the weirdness, all the times he chose to bench guys, and it all worked out for him. And it has. He's batting 1,000. It's all worked out for him. Nothing he has done has gone the wrong way.
That's
on
not
him.
True. I mean, you've well, got I mean, fourth and two. You've
ultimately,
got
but has it really mattered in the grand scheme
no,
of things?
No, but that's
two,
more to your point.
Fourth and two stunk, but they went on to win Super Bowls after
right.
that. Maybe this is the time. He was due for one, don't you think?
No, but also, there obviously seems to be something in the building. I mean, we'll get into the Gronkowski stuff, but there's a I mean, Curran talked about it, and Curran obviously isn't one to go crazy on the Patriots. And he said that, you know, Gronkowski was going to retire. He wanted to retire in the preseason. I've said now for a year that if I was Rob Gronkowski, I'd get off this team.
Well, after the commercial break, as I said, we'll talk about the Gronkowski stuff in detail in a little bit. But
we're going to talk about Papa John?
We can talk about that. Well, I mean, listen, you want to talk about chaos in the NFL. When PJ ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
Yeah, there was a dual statement released by Papa John's and the NFL.
Which, because you need that. But Danny Amendola actually did speak about those rumors yesterday behind the scenes. So after...
Honk alert.
Yeah, so after the break, we will get to that audio.
All right, we will have that for you. Honk alert coming on the way.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. So Danny Amendola, a lot of pieces starting to come out about the Patriots and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of a sudden this Wickersham article seems very, very true.
Yeah.
As it did in the first place. People couldn't accept it. But Brady and Belichick having this butting of heads is interesting because Curran, again... the guy who's talked about this Gronkowski situation said that Gronkowski wouldn't want to play with another quarterback except for Tom Brady. So obviously that tells me that the team is very divided between
sure.
the leadership of Tom Brady and the leadership of Bill Belichick.
Well, regarding those reports, Danny Amendola was doing a question and answer at Bryant University yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah!
He heard that was indeed
University.
Where the great John Wallach was the voice of the Bryant Bulldogs.
Sporting the sweatshirt today, boys.
That's right.
There was everyone had Groucho Marx classes on.
That's right. He wanted to find out where, indeed, you could hear John Wallach because it wasn't anywhere on the radio or the internet. You actually had to stand physically next to him.
You could hear him call a game. Better than Rich Eisen, I guess. Apparently, Rich Eisen is on this market.
Yes. That's on a station I didn't even know existed. So here is Danny. He was asked about the behind-the-scenes environment and what had been reported.
The one thing that I have learned just by being in the building the last 5 years is that they have the top tier in three pillars. They have the best owner, they have the best coach, and they have the best quarterback, and they all work together really well. You know, despite reports, which I can say are, you know, BS, but
yeah, there you go. So He was very entertained by that.
He was going to say a swear.
BS!
Yeah, right. So good, Amendola. Yeah. Put him on a lie detector.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, Amendola is obviously somebody who wants more money, and he's also somebody who likes where he is with the team and doesn't want to rock the boat.
He doesn't care about money.
Yeah,
he
you're
just,
right.
He desperately wants to be
on
the Patriots.
He just wants to play, yeah, with Tom Brady. But, by the way, speaking of Malcolm Butler, if you are indeed a fan of his, you might be seeing a decent amount of him next year because it was reported yesterday by Calvin Watkins of the New York Newsday that the Jets are interested in Butler and that they are looking to sign two starting cornerbacks this season and that Butler has piqued the interest of the powers that be at MetLife Stadium. What do you think he's going to make? Do you think what happened and how this year ended is going to affect in any way, shape, or form the kind of money he's going to get?
Too many cornerbacks are at such a premium, and he is shown to be a number one corner at times in his career, even though he wasn't for a long time this past season.
It'll be Muhammad Wilkerson. He'll sign a huge deal, and then he'll just go, okay, I give up.
I'm going to eat a lot. I'm not going to work out.
He's going to be Darrell Revis. He's going to be Muhammad Wilkerson. Because, by the way, the Jets can sign Cousins for the biggest quarterback deal of all time and still get two corners and a linebacker and offensive. I mean, they have like $80 million in cap space.
I just think the whole Cousins thing is fascinating now because the Vikings essentially have three free agent quarterbacks they're going to have. They're not going to re-sign Teddy Bridgewater, it sounds like. Case Keenum and what's his name? Sam Bradford.
Yeah.
So you got three guys just lingering out there. I mean, is there any doubt in your mind that they're going to go hard after Kirk Cousins?
Of course they
are. They're leaving them all three hang out there.
If you have all of that cap room and it doesn't damage your ability to get other players,
sure
you do. Well, it depends what you want. It depends if you want money or if you want a chance at the Super Bowl.
No, so I'm the Jets. I go right. I get Malcolm Butler and I outbid everyone for him. I mean, they whiffed. Milner was supposed to be their guy and they whiffed on him.
Yes.
Now that you have the two safeties, you just need the two outside guys.
That's all.
Well, I mean, considering what they had in the secondary two or three years ago, this is huge.
They want to bring back one of their corners, and then they have their slot corner and screen. So I don't know why they would go. They want to re-sign one of the current corners, and then they would go out and get a number one corner. I think that's ideally what they'd like to do.
I would absolutely expect Malcolm Butler to be in a Jet uniform next year.
Yeah, but then I would immediately expect him to flake out and start not going to practice.
Now that I have my money, I'm really tired. It's time for a nap.
Yeah.
Jeez,
exactly.
If I'm the Jets and you can't get Kirk Cousins, go after Case Keenum.
No. If you're the Jets and you can't get Cousins, you trade up and draft a quarterback. That's what they're going to do. Yeah, you don't get stuck with 30-year-old Case Keenum.
I think Case Keenum's a good quarterback. He's proven to be a good quarterback.
Case Keenum was a good quarterback with a tremendous amount of talent around him.
He did have a lot of talent.
And he does not have that in New York.
You can't ask
that guy to carry that team. Not a chance.
And I hope they don't sign Cousins. Because Cousins, that's coming out, all these statistics about him, he's terrible against good teams. Absolutely terrible. Like 4-20 or something against teams with winning records. So I hope they don't get Cousins. I hope they draft and whiff on a quarterback the old-fashioned Jet way. You know, they trade up and get Josh Rosen, who seems to not care about football, and then, and then they can get him, and he cannot care.
It's such a confluence of events. Darnold cares a lot about football, but can't make throws. Rosen doesn't care at all and makes a ton of good throws.
And then the guy that might go number one overall, the kid from Wyoming, played like crap at Wyoming.
And has the biggest arm anyone's ever seen, but he's not accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, and he didn't put up stats at Wyoming against that. And then you have a midget coming out of Oklahoma with an attitude problem.
That's right.
So there's like this big
class. And then you have Lamar Jackson, who some people want to make a wide receiver out of. So.
Right. Well, the thing about Lamar Jackson and the kid from Wyoming is apparently they're both very dumb. Is what I've been told.
And apparently six quarterbacks can go in the first round. This kid, not Baker Mayfield.
The kid from Oklahoma
Mason
State.
Rudolph, right. Yeah. Rudolph apparently has got all the smarts, but no arm at all.
Yeah.
All of these guys are going to be first rounders, and they all have one fatal flaw.
Here's what's going to happen is the Jets are going to sign Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford's going to show up. He's going to be great for two games and be injured for the rest of the season.
That's
on them for signing Sam Bradford.
No, if they do. They can sign Sam Bradford. They sign him for the league minimum.
But if they spend a lot of money on Sam Bradford,
Sam Bradford's made his money.
Well, he was the last of the gravy train. Wasn't he at the last the class where as a rookie he made that ridiculous money? Yes. Or was it Stafford? It was him or Stafford that was the last of the gravy train.
I thought that was Stafford.
It might have been. It was one of the two of them, but they both made ridiculous money in their rookie year.
Yeah. I thought Bradford was going to be something else.
Everyone really did.
Won the Heisman, right? At Oklahoma?
Yeah, but there's a lot of...
Then he wrecked his collarbone his senior year, his last
year.
He's
made of glass.
So, yeah, I wouldn't. Another thing, that this free agent quarterback class, even though Cousins is available, and that doesn't really happen ever, is exceptionally flawed. So there are a lot of opportunities to make mistakes. A lot of opportunities right now. And if you're a bad team, to make mistakes.
And by the way, it came out this morning that it sounds like the Packers and Aaron Rodgers are closing in on a new deal that will obviously make him the highest paid player in the NFL. I think we all knew that was coming. But
Until Cousins, yeah.
Until Cousins.
All right, no commercials here, just a headline.